And now, I have told you my news. Let me ask yours. When are you to be married? And where? And who is to perform the ceremony? And what are you to wear? And is it to be a public or a private wedding? Tell me all about it, dear. Tell me everything, for there is nothing which interests you which will not be dear to me. Jonathan asks me to send his respectful duty, but I do not think that is good enough from the junior partner of the important firm Harkins and Harker. And so, as you love me, and he loves me, and I love you with all the moods and tenses of the verb, I send you simply his love instead. Goodbye, my dearest Lucy, and all blessings on you. Yours, Mina Harker.
Dr. Seward's Diary. Report from Patrick Hennessy, M.D., M.R.C.S., L.K., Q.C., P.I., and so on, to John Seward, M.D. 20th of September. My dear sir, in accordance with your wishes, I enclose a report of the conditions of everything left in my charge. With regard to patient Renfield, there is more to say. He has had another outbreak which might have had a dreadful ending, but which, as it fortunately happened, was unattended with any unhappy results. This afternoon a carrier's cart with two men made a call at the empty house whose grounds abut on ours, the house to which, you will remember, the patient twice ran away. The men stopped at our gate to ask the porter their way, as they were strangers. I was myself looking out of the study window, having a smoke after dinner, and saw one of them come up to the house. As he passed the window of Renfield's room, the patient began to rate him from within, and called him all the foul names he could lay his tongue to. The man, who seemed a decent fellow enough, contented himself by telling him to shut up for a foul-mouthed beggar, whereon our man accused him of robbing him and wanting to murder him, and said that he would hinder him if he were to swing for it. I opened the window and signed to the man not to notice. So he contented himself, after looking the place over and making up his mind as to what kind of a place he had got to, by saying, "Law bless you, sir, I wouldn't mind what was said to me in a bloomin' madhouse. I pity you and the governor for having to live in the house with a wild beast like that." Then he asked his way, civilly enough, and I told him where the gate of the empty house was. He went away, followed by threats and curses and revilings from our man. I went down to see if I could make out any cause for his anger, since he's usually such a well-behaved man. And except his violent fits, nothing of the kind had ever occurred. I found him, to my astonishment, quite composed and most genial in his manner. I tried to get him to talk of the incident, but he blandly asked me questions as to what I meant, and led me to believe that he was completely oblivious of the affair.